at 14 minutes to 7. Let's go to America and talk to Mark Levine, who's a constitutional attorney. That means he's smart. He worked for the US Congress. That means he's crazy. And he's currently has a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show host, which means he's incredibly talented. Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello. Good to be with you both again.
It's good to have you, Mark. Now, Mark, you're now putting your, I suppose, money where your mouth is, or experience where your mouth is, and you're running for Congress.
Now, you're running. That's true. You're running as a Democrat.
Right.
Can you explain to us how you do that? Because in Australia, pre-selection for a party is done behind closed doors by faceless people. And
it is.
It is.
Not very democratic now, is it?
No, it's not. Whereas what you do in America seems to us to be absurdly democratic, because you all fight amongst yourselves publicly and then choose a candidate. So can you explain what you are going through right now running for Congress?
Sure. In early American history, we did it exactly like you did. We basically, party leaders chose candidates behind closed doors. And that still happens occasionally in things called caucuses, where a very small group of people get together, small being in the hundreds, not in the dozens, but to choose party leaders. But most races in America today are chosen by a primary. And a primary basically is a whole bunch of people, well, everyone, all voters, get to choose who are the candidates for each party. And in my particular district, the Democrats are strongly favored. It's a very liberal district in the United States. And so the winner of the primary is really the winner of the general election. Whoever wins the primary will go up to face a Republican in November, but unless that Democrat gets involved in some horrible crime, it would be extremely unlikely the Democrat would lose the general election. So the big election for us is going to be in June, not in November.
Now, do you have to be a member of the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We don't really have membership rules. I mean, for example, I haven't paid dues to the Democratic Party. I happen to be a member of the Alexandria Democratic Committee, which is right. my hometown of Alexandria, but that's purely voluntary, and I don't have to be that in order to run. I'm just a good Democrat, and I pay my dues. But
how do you run, though? It's not required to be a member.
No. I mean, you know, if you're not a good Democrat, presumably people won't vote for you in the Democratic primary.
Well, I don't think you should assume anything. But
that's true. And not only that, but I'm in the state of Virginia, you don't have to, anyone can grab any ballot. So a Republican wishing to cause havoc can grab a Democratic ballot and vote in the Democratic primary. You can't vote in both the Democratic primary and the Republican primary. But a race like ours, where there's only one Republican running and he's extremely likely to lose, Republicans might well want to vote in the Democratic primary, because the winner of the Democratic primary should be the next congressman from this area.
So you don't have to be a member of the Democratic Party to vote. You don't have to be a member of the Democratic Party to put yourself forward to nominate as a Democrat candidate.
Right.
And you don't have to be a member.
I should tell you. In other states in the United States, there are different rules where you do have to be a member of the party and you can only vote in your own party's elections. That doesn't happen to be the rule in my state of Virginia.
So anybody can vote in the Democratic primary?
Correct.
In your state?
How do you do that, though? Do you just turn up on the day? Do you have to register?
Yeah, you show up on the day and they say, would you like a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot? And they say, I'd like a Democratic ballot. And they don't look at your history. And if you could have asked for a Republican ballot for the last 23 elections, but this year you want a Democratic ballot.
What?
And they'll hand you one and you'll vote. And what's also interesting is there's 11 of us running, and the one with the most votes wins. Not the majority of the votes, just the plurality of the votes. With 11 candidates running, 20% could well win this election.
All right. And then that person will stand for the election for Congress, and that will be between the Democrat, the Republican, and any other independents who want to put themselves forward. But that's really a formality, you're saying.
That's correct, although in my district, where well north of two-thirds of all people in my district are Democrats, the Republican and the independent really shouldn't matter.
No. Okay. So, it's voluntary voting, correct?
Sure. Oh, and the vast majority of people will not vote, unfortunately.
You know when you say sure? See, in Australia, it's compulsory. you get fined We're not.
I would like that. I think I would do better if voting were compulsory.
It's compulsory in Australia.
A lot of people in Virginia would take the time to listen and find out what the candidates stand for if voting were compulsory. It's not, and unfortunately, I think probably maybe 10% of the electorate, maybe 15 or 20% will vote in the primary. Okay. Hopefully more, but I'm afraid it won't be that high.
Okay. And Mark, you're standing for Congress, which is your lower house.
Right.
Right. Mm. And is it just for that little bit of Virginia that you'll be representing, or is it a statewide electorate?
No, Virginia happens to have 11 congressional districts. The bigger states have more. California has more than 50. The smaller states have only one. It's done by population, and ours is a mid-sized state, so we have 11, and I'll represent one of 11 parts of Virginia. And actually, the lower house is called the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
The upper house is called the Senate, and together, combined, they're called the Congress.
All right. So together it's the Congress, the lower house is the House of Reps. Right. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
But do you regard yourself as a lower and upper house? In other words, is the Senate
not really?
No.
No. I mean they're equal. They have certain things that can only happen in the Senate. Certain things can only happen in the House. All major laws have to pass both.
Okay.
So they're really equal. The difference is the Senate has two senators from every state in the United States, 50 states, 100 senators, whereas the House of Representatives is based on population.
Right. Okay. And the Senate, is that a house of review, as in Australia, generally legislation can be initiated in the Senate, but it's generally initiated in what we call the lower house, and the Senate is meant to review and amend the legislation.
No, I mean, really, either there are certain bills that are supposed to originate in the House, and that happens. But for all intents and purposes, the House comes up with its ideas, the Senate comes up with its ideas, and sometimes they agree, and more often than not, they can't, and then things go nowhere.
Yeah.
Although I was reading a book recently that during the time of around the American Revolution, as these things were being nutted out, how are we going to rule ourselves, that there was a big debate about whether or not America needed an aristocracy and whether or not the upper house, the Senate, would fulfill that role.
Well, actually, the Senate originally was chosen by the states. So in other words, the people could not directly elect their senators. The state legislatures would choose the senators, and then around about 100 years ago, we changed our constitution so that senators are directly elected.
Right.
But the House of Representatives is a more representative body because it's based on population, whereas in the Senate, we have the ridiculous notion that a tiny state of 500,000 people in Wyoming gets two senators, and California, which has 20, 30 million people, only gets two senators as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense.
Now, you're listening to Mark Levine. He is running for Congress, but he talks to us about U.S. Affairs, really, from Mark Levine, talk.com. Mark, do you use robo...
If anyone in Adelaide wants to move to Northern Virginia and vote for me and become a citizen real quick, that could be useful.
Won't. No problems, Mark.
I don't really think I'm talking to too many voters, though, right now.
No, probably not.
No. Mark... do you use robocalls? I mean, or are they old hat in America?
I haven't yet. My campaign has been discussing it, and we're thinking about it. Those, of course, are the automatic calls.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't like to receive them, I'm very reluctant to use them, but everyone tells me that that's what you do. And this is my first race for public office, so I haven't done it yet, but I won't rule it out.
You listen to your spin doctors, Mark. They won't put a foot wrong.
Apparently, they're very effective. They've been used here in Adelaide, South Australia, and apparently they were very effective in an election we've just had.
Maybe so.
So that the party that only got 47% of the two-party preferred vote managed to form government. So, Mark, you might like to have a look at what they did.
Well, what can I say? In 2000, we elected Al Gore, and we got George Bush as president. I still haven't figured that one out yet. So, unfortunately, was it Winston Churchill that said that democracy is the worst possible system of government except for all the others?
Exactly.
I agree with that.
Mark, thank you so much for explaining the interesting and, I think, terrific system that operates in the U.S. To elect people. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Mark Levine is... very interesting. We might get round to talking about all the other things that we were going to talk to him about, but
another day.
We talked to him, and we talked to Mary Kissel. She's on the other side of the political spectrum.
Yes, she's a little more conservative.
She's a journalist, but just a slightly more.